Paris had once again become the center of Western civilization. The grandeur of empire, the military glory of French armies marching over the breadth of the European continent. All of these things cemented and created Napoleon's popularity in France. One thing that I think is important to remember about this is that the people of France, especially since we've talked about how the wars of Louis XIV and Louis XV had bankrupted France in the 17th and early 18th centuries, Napoleon was able to extract enormous booty from this empire so that the people of France were not paying exorbitant taxes to keep the French military operations going. This was paid for by the subject peoples and those enemies that Napoleon had had subdued. There were also very tangible gains for the internally in France. For the propertied bourgeoisie, the Napoleonic regime seemed to restore security. Private property, the sort of notion of life, liberty, and property, which had been part of the initial thrust of the revolution in 1789, had been achieved, guaranteed by the new order established by Napoleon. His policies were also conducive to the expansion of manufacturing and trade. This was a business-friendly regime. This was a regime that was interested in an expansion of French economic life, consistent with liberal notions of the economy. And also, in a point that to which we've alluded previously, that this regime's social ethic was one of social advancement. Achievement was the key, not blood. One sees this not only in business, but also in that most important institution to Napoleon personally, which was the army. The army, the great marshals of the French army, these were men who distinguished themselves by valor, by their military achievements, and advancement in the Napoleonic armies was based on talent and not on connections, not on old social norms. There was a new aristocracy in France, a new Napoleonic aristocracy. And it was an aristocracy of talent. The peasantry, that still largest group within French society, was pleased with the regime for a number of reasons. One, the concordat with the Vatican sealed the redistribution of land from the revolution. That is, the Vatican recognized, the church in France recognized, that those church lands that had been taken during the revolution and redistributed were lost. This was not going to be reversed. Napoleon had achieved this. And the concordat was popular with the peasantry for all of the reasons that we have discussed previously. It seemed to bring a unity back to France. The church, this great central institution of much of French life, now once again restored to the mainstream. I think it's interesting as one thinks about this Napoleonic regime. Napoleon would become the great darling of the French middle classes. This emphasis on careers open to talent, the new aristocracy of achievement of talent, would be something that was not only extremely important during his lifetime, but the great myth of Napoleon. The great myth of Napoleon as being up, the man up by his bootstraps, the rugged individualist, the self-made man, would linger in French political and social life well into the 20th century. It's quite interesting because as the regime fell in 1815, a generation would pass when Napoleon was now seen as anathema and was gone. But after a generation, and especially after his death actually in 1821 and when his body is brought back to France, this great Napoleonic myth returns with renewed power. I say myth not in the sense of it being something that was not true, but rather his reputation as the man who had restored grandeur to France, restored greatness to France, and had done so on the basis of talent and of this new revolutionary principle of the age, which was achievement, talent, and not heredity or blood. In this sense, Napoleon did seem to be an heir of the French Revolution.